Welcome, everybody, to Local Matters. This has Ben Rogers. Excited to talk about discuss a topic that I have never ventured into, and I have two wonderful ladies here to help me with that. Amber Flynn Jarrett and Miss Sherry Smith. Miss Amber Flynn Jarrett and Miss Sherry Smith are here to talk about housing and affordability. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a good time.
It is going to be a good time. Amber, I know you really well. Miss Sherry, I don't, but it's nice to meet you, and I know we're going to have fun. I was excited when this topic came up because I've not done this in 5 years, and I probably should have, but I'm nowhere near an expert in this. I love government. I have a lot of shows or episodes about government and public service, and that's kind of my lane. But when they brought this to me, I'm like, I can venture out. I'm not stuck in the mud. So I want to be educated today. You're going to inform me of a lot. Before we get into the topic of housing affordability, and Miss Sherry, I'll start with you.
Okay.
What is your background? Are you from here? Have you been in real estate a long time? Tell me about your background.
I was born and raised in Allgood, Tennessee. I've been married to my husband for 35 years and raised all three of my daughters here, which are all married now. I got into real estate in 2008, and I mainly got into it is because I needed some extra money. But then I ventured off into a passion of mine with real estate. I am currently a realtor with the Real Estate Professionals of Tennessee. I am the principal broker, and this year of 2025, I am the president of the Upper Cumberland Association of Realtors.
Wow, that's a lot in like 30 seconds. That was good. No, I got to back up a second before I get to Amber. 2008 wasn't a great time to get in, was it?
No.
Okay, I was making sure. I know it's been a while, but that's I remember gas was like $4, and houses were crazy, and it was like, I don't know. So you even through that, you stuck with real estate.
I had an experienced realtor at the time told me, he says, Sherry, if you can make it in 2008, you're going to make it for the long term. And here I am.
Yeah.
Almost 18 years later.
Well, good for you. Amber, what about you?
So this is so serendipitous that you have both of us on here, because I got my real estate license in 2009 because Sherry and I were good friends. And, you know, she kind of was sharing with me about her real estate journey. And I thought, well, that sounds like fun. Little did I know, she didn't tell me all the bad parts. But it's been really fun to have our careers run parallel as friends and as colleagues. Sherry does a great job serving our board of directors, and when she called me and told me that she was going to take that position, and you know, coveted our prayers, and I just had to encourage her because she's such a great role. And so you're going to get two very different but I think congruent opinions, you know, having us both on here today, because Sherry's a much more methodical, she's going to come from a numbers, very studied, studious, intentional agent and broker, you know, whereas I'm more feelings oriented and kind of in those trenches, speak from, kind of tell you experience and what we're seeing from just, you know, day-to-day operations. So I think this is, you know, I don't know, either you're absolutely brilliant or just so lucky to have fallen into this great moment where we sit right here, and Ben, knowing you, I know probably both.
Well, I'm excited and thankful that y'all are here, and I welcome all sides of it because, again, I want to be informed. I'm not trying to get into real estate, so you don't have to worry about that. I'm not trying to sell a house or buy, because we built in 2012 and we'll hopefully stay there forever. But so I never actually have had the experience of buying a house. Mm-hmm. I just built one, right? And I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like going and looking for houses. And I mean, I looked a little bit. We looked a little bit after we got married, but we had a house basically saying, given to us, this is my grandma's house, nobody's living in it for free, and who's going to say no to that when you're newlyweds, right? So we did that for 4 years and finally built. But I'm looking forward to hearing all sides of it. I do. What was you doing, Miss Sherry, before real estate?
If you don't mind, stay at home mom.
Amber,
same.
Mm-hmm. So I love this. So y'all went from taking care of your family and your kids, mm-hmm. providing for them, to going to career oriented professionals, and I think that's wonderful. So let's talk about housing affordability here on Local Matters. And I think, should we start with market and prices, or is there somewhere, Amber's, or somewhere we should start else? I mean, market prices seems good to me.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a really good thing, something that people are certainly interested in. There's a lot of buzz that's talking about, you know, how that affects market affordability. So I think that's a great place to start.
So how has the market changed? Well, let's just go back to 08, 09. That's when you mm-hmm. all started. We know we were in a recession at that time. So how has it changed from that time, 2008, 2009, to now?
I would say probably the biggest change that I've seen. I mean, now that's this. We're talking a night and day difference in the market from all the way back then. When you know when I got in 09, and I'm sure Sherry would say the same. It was you'd stare at your phone and just wish somebody would call at some point in time, and it didn't ring. So coming into it in a much slower pace, back then our average days on the market was 6 months. You know, you would take a listing and, you know, hope that you could get it sold before it expired. Fast forward to COVID days when, you know, when things were flying off the shelves, and especially in that immediate post-COVID world, you know, within hours sometimes with multiple offers and over asking pricing. And, you know, there was so much that has changed in that market. Now we've kind of calmed down and balanced out, which I think is a good thing, especially in a market like ours that cannot sustain double digit growth year over year. It's just not healthy for the economic climate, you know, of the community that we live in.
So is it safe to say, Sherry, based on that, Would a real estate professional and a consumer or a seller, really everybody involved, see a steady market all the time where it's consistent, or the fluctuating, oh my gosh, hit it while you're hot for a year because it was really hot for probably longer than that? What's your preference, not only for you personally, but for just the consumer that's trying to start a life? What's your preference? What's ideal?
I mean, there's always what you call a balanced market.
Okay.
And a balanced market is in a dream world. And it does fluctuate. And so many variables determines if it's a balanced market or a seller's market or a buyer's market. Right now, as Amber just said, we're probably closer to a balanced market. We're seeing more days on the market right now than we did even just 2 years ago. And that does determine kind of what moves, how we move forward with that. So how we get here, how we get to a balanced market is mainly inflation is a big one right now. Back in 2008 and 2009, we had some inflation, but right now our inflation is kind of determining our market. The more that the government has high debt, that determines the mortgage rates. And that's one reason a lot of people are telling me, I'm waiting to see if it goes back down to 4 and 3. And that's just not reality anymore. No. Reality right now is that our government, it has a very high debt, and that determines our mortgage rates.
Yep, and it is high. It's been high for, what, over a year now, I guess? I'm trying to remember my time.
About 2.5 years.
2.5 years,
yeah,
thank you.
It was about June of 2022 when the rates took a significant uptick. I know because that's the month I opened my company. So I was like, excellent timing. And they went, you know, really high really quick, and it took a minute for you know, just buyers in general to acclimate to, oh my gosh, you know, we don't have what has felt like free money, you know, for a while. So when you're talking about market affordability, I think, you know, you get on Facebook and there's lots of keyboard warriors that, you know, want to take jabs at my industry, my profession, like as if I could single-handedly affect the pricing of all of the homes in the Upper Cumberland area. Thank you for believing in me. But what we're also seeing, yes, we have definitely seen the increase in prices. Some of that is we needed to catch up, right? Mm-hmm. We were, you know, on all of the lists of the most affordable places to live for, you know, years and years and years, which was fantastic. But we were a little bit behind of what, you know, the average price points. And then you couple market catch up with now an increase in interest rates. And that's where the squeeze of affordability comes in, you know, for especially what is your entry level buyer.
Mm-hmm. So interest rates started in June, going up in June of 2022. Mm-hmm. Before that, how long was a house staying on the market? Average days. I know it's we're talking days, I know. But so before the rates started going up, what was the average for you all? Sherry, I'll start with you.
That's a hard question. If you're talking about during like 21,
yes.
I mean, we were looking at hours sometimes.
Okay. Yeah.
Now we're looking on days on market closer to 45 days on market on an average.
And you would have killed to have that in 2008, 2009, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that would have been wonderful.
Absolutely.
Is it frustrating now that it's 45 days, or are you all so used to how it changes? Amber,
we're used to it, but our sellers aren't. So we always say, like, buyers, you know, still think that it's 2009 and sellers still think it's 2021, right? So it's like they're like, well, wait a minute. Why is this taking so long? I think if you take all of the Upper Cumberland too, it's even more days than that. Yeah. And so it's like, well, it's really not taking that long. This is just what the new market average is. But they're, you know, and some of that might be our faults as realtors. Nobody advertises, you know, on the market for 120 days. You know, we're usually putting the ones out there that, you know, sold quickly and move fast. So just setting good expectations, I think, for sellers that they understand, you know, a 45-day to contract days on market looks like, you know, more like a 3 months, you know, on the market total before you get to the closing table. And so it's just a new normal, Ben. That's all. It's just a new normal.
And as professionals, you adjust.
Yes.
And you don't make excuses. You don't get down. And I think that's great. You said real estate professionals, Ms. Sherry, Ms. Amber, Real Estate Collective. I want to make sure. I just want to be fair because I want you're here helping me, doing the favor. I want people to know who you're with. And yes, you are across from my old office, Amber. So I would see your sign. And where are you at, Ms. Sherry?
We're located on Washington, just down from the courthouse.
Washington for the Real Estate Professionals, the Real Estate Collective is on Broad Street and Walnut, pretty much. So I have Ms. Amber Flynn Jared, Ms. Sherry Smith with us. We're talking housing affordability. We're almost up to break, but I do want to just ask right quick. We say 45 time frame. Is that the longest it's been in the last 2.5 years? Or has it gradually gotten longer, or is it going back down?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. So 21, we're talking about hours. 22, the rates start going up. Now we're talking about days, and then we're now at about 45, so a month and a half. And to me, again, I'm not a real estate professional or buyer or seller. I think that's pretty good. If I wanted to sell my home right now and you told me an average is 45 days, I'd be like, okay, I'm patient. I can do anything for 45 days, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll talk what your projections are. I want to get a crystal ball out here when we get back. This is Local Matters. I have Amber Flynn Jared and Sherry Smith with me talking about housing affordability. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. Great show so far with Amber Flynn Jared and Sherry Smith. They are real estate professionals, and we're here to talk about housing affordability. I love this topic. I'm getting informed myself. So we were talking about marketing prices. I've been asking people, Randy Porter and I are close friends. He sends us a report every month about how many building permits were pulled, you know, just to let us know who's still building or adding on. And so we still see a steady flow of that. In 2020 and 2021, we just had a boom of real estate sales. Why was that boom so fast, so furious in that time frame?
Oh, gosh, Ben, that's such a loaded question because there's a lot of factors that are there. The ones that I can hit on at least quickly for the purpose of this show is we had a ton of influx from neighboring states all across the U.S. You know, if you remember in the COVID climate, you know, there were a lot of states that were shut down that they, you know, went to mostly remote work. They could live anywhere. And so our Tennessee with, you know, low taxes, no state income tax, you know, all those things were super attractive. Buyers from California and, you know, Pacific Northwest, Chicago, New York, all of these places could sell their property and come here and purchase what was a slice of heaven, you know, for them for a fraction of the price. And so we had a tremendous amount of influx from just completely out of state buyers. So that was, you know, supply and demand, you know, is just basic economics. And so you're going to see a big shift and an influx in your market values because of that. I think also you had, I mean, we could, you know, go through and dissect the fact that you had the largest transfer of wealth, you know, a lot of baby boomers who are passing away, giving, you know, passing their wealth on down to their children who then, you know, were reinvesting that in the market. You had a ton of equity, you know, as that whole shift began to happen, people who had lived in their homes for 5, 10, 15, 20 years had a ginormous amount of equity. They could turn around, sell that home, buy a great move-up property, and and basically be in it for about the same payment that, you know, that they were living in something much smaller, their starter home or whatever. So there was a lot of factors that the interest rates being so low, you could afford so much more house for that. So the influx in the price didn't affect, you know, the average buyer. You know, Sherry and I can tell you in the Upper Cumberland, most of our buyers are getting a mortgage. You know, most of them are, you know, middle class to upper middle class. Our average price point in the Upper Cumberland area is $300,000. You know, we're not talking about multiple million dollar, you know, buyers. And so, you know, when you're just looking at the average American household, how do they capitalize that dollar? You know, looking at having those super duper low interest rates, you know, meant that they could buy so much more house. And so conversely, you know, we're seeing the opposite effects of that right now.
Wow. That's a good answer. So you,
yeah, I was just going to add to that. One thing that I noticed a lot too is that here for our local people who've been here for years, they have a lot of equity in their homes. And so they were seeing opportunities with all these buyers coming in to sell their homes and either get out of debt completely mm-hmm. because they had so much equity in their homes. So, and then also the lower insurance costs here as well. And just the cost of living in general is also a reason that we saw a lot of moving parts during right after the COVID era.
Well, so, and again, Tennessee is a good place to live, right?
Absolutely.
There's
yeah.
resources everywhere.
Go Balls.
Yeah, with Go Balls. And where we're at, we're in between Nashville, Knoxville, and Chattanooga. And so I know we have neighbors. I live in a rural part of western Putnam County, west of Baxter. We had neighbors from California that, mm-hmm. that bought a house on our ridge of like eight homes of mm-hmm. a 3 mile stretch. We have eight houses, and they bought this house with 70 acres, and they're happy to be here. And they came from Northern California. Mm-hmm. I remember in 2021. I have a real estate friend, and she came up to me. She said, you know, I can get you five times what you mm-hmm. put in your house to build it right now. And I thought about it for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And then my mom and dad live down the road. My brother lives down the road. And when you build the house yourself, I helped
sure.
build my house. It's almost like, you know.
Well, and
I
then you got to replace it, you know.
Yeah.
So that was the struggle that, yep. you know, a lot of people are in now is like, okay, we could sell. We still have a tremendous amount of equity. But what are we going to replace that with? And so when you've got a little bit, you know, lower inventory like we have right now where, you know, you just don't have a ton of things to choose from, you know, that becomes really challenging.
Well, it does. And so let's talk about affordability and selling and buying. Right now, this is what I know. Affordability is a little bit of more of a struggle now because interest rates are higher, right? Mm-hmm. We kind of touched on that. What other factors are going on right now with affordability? What's the affordability outlook, especially in this area?
Well, in Putnam County, the average home cost is at $300,000. Check this morning, at $335,000. That's in Putnam. Let's do a comparison in Overton County where it's $261,950. Mm-hmm. So Jackson County is $226,930.
Wow.
So if you're wanting to live in some of the outer skirts of Putnam County, mm-hmm. then you do have the opportunity to maybe get a little bit more of a house for a little bit less money if mm-hmm. that's what you're willing, you know, you're wanting to do with that. Now put that in comparison to like Nashville and Knoxville and what their home prices are, then, you know, you're in a much different market. And again, like you said, we're halfway between Nashville mm-hmm. and Knoxville. So we're in a prime place if you want to work in one of those larger cities where the average home income is more mm-hmm. than here. So we're a great option here.
Yeah. Well, so, and we are, excuse me. And I think bringing up the topic of going outside of Putnam County, it's doable because we're not far. I mean, Gainesboro's not far from Cookeville. Mm-hmm. Livingston's not far from Cookeville. So you can afford to live here if you want to live here. Sounds mm-hmm. like to me, based on those prices. Let's pull out a crystal ball. Amber, what do you think that affordability outlook is the next 5 years, let's say?
Well, and, you know, if I had a crystal ball, I wouldn't be sitting right here.
That's true.
But here's what I know. The struggle that we're seeing, and listen, this is what I do every day. I do it at a high level. I'm very pro, you know, the real estate market being in a healthy way. Saying that, housing affordability is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big issue. I don't know that I'd go as far as call it a crisis, but it doesn't look great. And I honestly wish I knew how to fix it. And there's a lot of things, you know, where that the government, you know, has their hands in, that I know people are working on it, you know, and trying to come with some answers. I would say the thing that has me the most concerned is our entry level buyers. And what does that look like? Because they don't have this equity that we're talking about, that you're able to go equity transfer into the next home and bring that paint, you know, your, what you're borrowing down tremendously so that you can get your payment where you want it. My kids, Sherry's kids are in that entry level, you know, buyer pool. And it is it's a real challenge. You know, saying that, what can we do to see some shift in affordability? You know, different type of product to get, you know, a more affordable home. I mean, I looked up this morning, houses under 300,000 in Putnam County. There were 41 listings. And you know, that sounds like a lot sitting in a room, you know, with us, but you think about all of the buyers that are out there, and that's what they have to choose from. And that's what's active right now. Some of them are, you know, less than 1,000 square feet. You know, that becomes again a new normal that we're not used to. You know, my first house, 1,500 square foot, I paid $78,000 for. You know, that house would probably sell for, you know, close to 375 or so today. But we're also seeing a shift in incomes. So Ben, my kids don't make what I made when I was their age,
right.
You know, so some of that is relative. But you know, I don't know how we get to, affordability without, you know, some significant effort, unless everything just continues to shift upwards. Prices of homes are not coming down. You know, we don't see that. I don't think that we will ever see that in our area. So, you know, hopefully if we can get some relief with interest rates, you know, I think that that would certainly help. But other than that, you know, I'm looking to Sherry, you got a crystal ball over there.
Well, if you do, I'm going to let you. She's saying no, so I guess that's a good time. This is Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Amber Flynn Jarrett and Miss Sherry Smith talking about housing and affordability in Upper Cumberland. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers talking housing and affordability in the Upper Cumberland area with Amber Flynn Jarrett and Sherry Smith. Thank you all again. Y'all been
Absolutely.
Wonderful and amazing. Getting good to see you again, Amber, and great to get to know you, Sherry. I'm just
Thank
delighted.
You.
So, great topic so far. I want to get into, for those listening and maybe they haven't purchased a home, and they're looking. Maybe, I think, Amber, you said the your buyers are middle class, upper middle class, I think. And then age-wise, I don't know if you mentioned the age. Is it all over the board ages right now?
I mean, yeah, we're seeing even the youngest. Yeah, absolutely.
So as far as the youngest goes, if I'm – and I'm not 21, but I wish I was – if I'm 21, 25 years old, I want to buy a house, where do I start? If you're a first-time buyer, help me inform folks to say, I'm a first-time buyer, where do I start?
Well, I would first tell you to start, go to a local lender. Let them talk to you about your credit score. Let them talk to you about your debt-to-income ratio. And if you have something that is on your debt-to-income ratio that would be an easy fix for you in order to get your credit score higher, your local lenders are going to walk you through that and help you do that. They're also going to tell you many different types of products out there. One of them that I actually love that I have helped a lot of the first-time home buyers, especially if they're in wanting to work in one of the outlying areas of our counties in Overton, White, Jackson, DeKalb, something like that. They have what they call a THDA down payment assistance program, and a lot of our local lenders use that. I have used that for a lot of first-time home buyers that simply don't have the money to put down a large down payment, not even a large down payment, maybe just a 3% down payment. And so that is difficult. Another thing a lot of first-time home buyers are looking into is, Amber had mentioned earlier, that a lot of the baby boomers are moving. When those baby boomers have kids, they have adult kids that are in that price range. And sometimes they're at a place they can gift money, especially maybe a down payment or something like that. So I'm seeing more of parents and grandparents helping the younger ones in that realm as well.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Great information. So go see a local lender, ask questions, talk to your family. And that's kind of what I did when we were getting ready to build. I would obviously ask my parents. You know, mm-hmm. They built the house. They've been in that same house for a while. And then I have my best friend in the world's a contractor. So that was easy for me. But that's great information for somebody looking to buy for the first time. Let's talk government. You mentioned government a little bit last segment, Amber. How can local government, state government, and even I don't know if I want to get into the federal side because that's more complicated, mm-hmm. but can local and state government help the housing affordability in this area? I mean, anywhere?
I mean, I definitely think so. I mean, we are starting to see the rates begin to respond favorably. I know a couple of my clients were quoted in the high fives, which we haven't seen in a while. And so that's we were all doing a happy dance about that. And I think that before I answer that question, I wanted to kind of tag on to what I was talking about earlier. And Sherry hit on it, and it reminded me, one of the best things that you can do for yourself in getting your housing affordability is maintain your credit. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't talk enough to our young people about making sure that their credit stays intact and working towards improving their credit score every chance they get. The better your credit score is, the better rate you get. A lot of people don't realize that. So, you know, that's something that we can do. So now looking at, you know, what the government can do, how they can come alongside and aid buyers, continuing to expand upon programs like rural development grants and those types of programs. Most of your local lenders can do a rural development loan, which is 100% financing. So that's, you know, again, kind of myth busting, mm-hmm. like Sherry mentioned, THDA. A lot of people just don't know. They don't have to have 20% down to buy a house. Now there is a whole, government program of rural development that's done outside of a local lender. Fantastic programs. They subsidize payments. They have a lot of things that they can do to help lower income families to get into their own home as well. The problem with that is there's so much red tape, Ben. It takes forever. Sellers and a lot of agents are kind of negative towards those programs because they do take so long. You got to jump through a lot of hoops. Yeah. They can make that a little bit easier. Same on the VA side. Another wonderful 100% product that could help really with this affordability issue. If they can make some of those processes a little smoother and maybe talk to the people in the trenches about what that looks like, I think that's one way that they could really help.
So you're the president of the Upcoming Realtors?
Yes.
Okay. And have you been that position before?
I've not been in that position. I serve on several different committees, but I will, yes.
So as those position holders, especially with you, can you work or talk to legislators and have that dialogue with them to talk about how can we make affordability better for housing? Is that something you can be a part of?
We have. We just went to, we call it Day on the Hill, mm-hmm. back in February with all our local legislators. And we met with all of our local and just tell them from a realtor standpoint what we need our legislations to do to help us. Keeping the insurance cost down is one way. Again, keep an eye on the interest rates and keeping the inflation down, having a voice in that. I know this last time they were talking about making sure that we don't have a state tax, and those kind of things helps us here in Tennessee allow people to have more of affordability for a home.
So, well, that's perfect, because I think in that position that gives you that chance to have a voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was probably down there that day in my new career. My career doesn't have me talk about those things, but I'm glad there's people that do. And I will say this, every realtor I know has been nothing but wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, I hate that you had said earlier, sometimes y'all get a bad name. Mm-hmm. I hate that. That's I'm sorry for that, because everyone I've ever met, anytime they had a buyer or seller, the only thing they were trying to help in
Absolutely.
Every way they could to find the best avenue for them, what's the benefits. And you all working with legislators even adds to y'all's credibility, in my mm-hmm. opinion. So
we are truly advocates for the local buyers and sellers.
Sure.
And not just on a one-on-one scale with a buyer or a seller, but in local government and in state government, is that we are advocating for to make it more affordable for every buyer and seller in our area.
Now, have y'all ever reached to be able to go to D.C. and advocate at that level?
I am scheduled to go there in the end of May.
Okay. I just got back. So that was I was there on State of the Union address, and I didn't get to tour the Capitol because of that. But anyway, I'm not mad about it. But it's, you know, I appreciate you doing that, because there's a voice for the upcoming. Yeah. And I think that you've got friends, right, that can help you. And I think it's wonderful. So I have probably a tough question, but I would love to hear your input on it. Is it more advantageous to rent right now in this market or buy? Is it? Amber, I'll start with you. Let's say I'm 30 years old, I have a career, decent money, middle class. What's my advantages of renting or buying?
Well, here's the real truth of the matter, Ben. What is best for your family? right?
Right.
So, you know, most of the time people will say, oh, well, when's the best time to buy real estate? 20 years ago. When's the second best time today? And while by and large that could be true, there's seasons in life for everything. If this is the right time for you to rent, by all means, you know what's best for your family. I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be selling real estate 2 years from now when somebody is ready to buy. So I never try to pressure someone into making that decision. What you do have to do is do the math.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to have to pay $2,000 a month to rent a nice place, you know, at the end of your 2 year lease, you know, you do the math on that and you know where you're almost $50,000, you know, into what would make a really nice chunk into your equity for the home that you purchase. But there's, you know, it's very subjective. It's a very individual decision. And there have been times in my life where I have rented because it's what I needed, you know, at the time. But renting just because you think that housing prices are going to come down, you know, probably is not the smartest move to make and in what's in the best interest of your family.
Yeah, I agree. Sherry, do you have a...
Yes, our company is also a property management company. And one thing that we have noticed, a lot of people who are moving here from out of the area, they don't know our area.
Mm-hmm.
So renting before you buy, I think, is a really smart move. We can help, you know, with that as well. But she was, you know, Amber was right with the renting costs right now. To rent a nice, decent place, you're probably looking at anywhere from $1,700 up to $2,200 a month for like a three-bedroom, two-bath, you know.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then with that.
That's a lot more than my mortgage payment.
Yes. Well, you probably got a mortgage payment with what interest rate?
3.5% in 2012,
okay.
Right?
And like Amber said earlier, interest rates now, we're looking at closer, we're closer to 6% right now. We're hovering right around 6%, a little bit more than that. So if you put that in the equation, and then the fact, I've heard a lot of lenders telling me now that the insurance prices have gone up. And so when you add not only the principal, but you got to add the interest rate, plus you got to add the cost of insurance, then your payments, even for a $335,000 house, you're probably still looking well over $2,000 a month.
So I'm about to bring up, oh. So
I've been holding it.
No, you're good. We're going to we'll cut that out, okay? Yeah.
I was like, time out.
Thank you. No, you're good. About 9:45 okay. In this segment. Just cut her coughing out.
Yeah.
Be fine. Yep.
She's going to get me a cough drop.
Okay. We'll wait till you get
I think
ready.
I'm okay, but I think I made it worse.
No, you're good. But I'm about to bring up something y'all may not want to ask because it sparked insurance. You're talking about insurance going up?
Yeah.
As a county commissioner, we're doing everything we can to get fire halls in all parts of the county. Is it helping or does it matter?
I mean, I don't know enough about insurance to know whether or not. I've always heard that affects it.
But well, I'm going to make the comment. If you got a comment, fine, but we'll move on.
I just got a letter to tell us that it's making an effect on payments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you good now?
Yep.
So I'm waiting till it was about 9:40. I'm waiting till about a minute. We got a minute. We'll cut out. Okay, we'll start back. 3, 2, 1. So speaking of insurance, Sherry, and this just sparked my mind. My mind goes crazy when we're talking. I'm on the county commission, and as a county commission, we've tried to fund fire stations across our county. And we're not perfect yet in Putnam County, but we've added a lot. And one of the reasons we're doing that, first of all, is protection, right? Mm-hmm. So fire protection to all of our citizens in the county have access to fire protection. But two, we keep hearing that the more we put out there, the better the ISO rating and the lower the insurance. Mm-hmm. I know you're not in the insurance business, but is that a discussion you all have when you have somebody buying or selling, especially buying? Do they ask that question?
They ask a lot about insurance. Actually, it's probably more of our job to ask them, you know, mm-hmm. to make sure they have done their homework on what insurance would cost would be for the house that they're looking into purchasing. We leave that up to the insurance professionals, to actually answer the questions. I have heard from many lenders when we start talking about the consumer's payment is going to be, they mentioned to me that the insurance is higher than it's ever been before. And it's mainly because of all the natural disasters that has went on across our nation. And, you know, all of us are paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we can't stop that, right?
Nope.
I mean, that's out of our hands. We're not creating those disasters, and it's unfortunate. But I just thought I'd bring it up because I feel like as one of the things as government can do, right?
Sure.
I mean, I asked you all, what can government do? I think our county commission's doing it with providing more. We've hired more firemen, mm-hmm. full-time firemen. We're putting them out there in stations. We have more trucks as soon as they can get built and sent to us. But, yeah, thank you all so much for being here. This has been wonderful. Amber, it's always good to see you.
Absolutely.
I've been able to serve with you on a couple of boards, and I appreciate that. Sherry, it's nice meeting you.
Thank you.
You all both have a ton of knowledge when it comes to real estate and housing and affordability. And I let's just continue to talk the discussion. If I can do anything to help you all, I will. Be glad to.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks for being here. This has been Local Matters. This has been Rogers. I've had Amber Flynn Jared and Sherry Smith talking about housing affordability. Remember, folks, it's a lot easier to smile than a frown. Make somebody's day. Give somebody some love. Be kind. I promise you, it's the only way we get through this. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Woo-woo, we did.